Great. Well, let's begin by praying, and then we're going to think about the issue of gender and what the Bible says about that. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, now that you would help us to be humble before you and to be ready to listen to what you say. Father, we are bombarded by what the world around us says. And so often our thinking and feeling is shaped by the world. But Father, we pray, please, now as we listen to your word and as we get into what your word says, Father, please, would you help us to be humble and ready to listen to you and to be shaped by you. Amen. Well, like I say, this week and next week, we're doing little sort of one-off sermons on current issues that we need to be thinking about and thinking, what does the Bible say about these? So today we're thinking about gender, and next week we're going to be thinking about sexuality. Pathfinders, you're in, which is great. Well done. You should have sheets. If you've not got them yet, there are some sheets right down at the front here with pens as well. So if you want one, or if an adult wants one, you can have them and you can fill them in and that sort of thing. Thank you, Colin. Going around over there. If anyone else wants one, do raise a hand. No, that's fine. Oh, yes, one over there. Thank you. One for Colin. Are you happy to take one to Max as well? So over on the left. Oh, and more over here. Graham, is that a wave of a hand? Yes, one over that's hard as well. That would be good. That means you can just follow through. And you can fill in the gaps as well, which may help you to concentrate. Also, just to say, so we're covering, like I say, the issue of gender today, and I just want to flag up, before we go anywhere else, a couple of books that there are that we're going to be selling over coffee. Thank you for those who are helping to sell them. One of them is a book by Vaughan Roberts. It's the orange one. It's called Transgender, and this is the shorter one of the two. So if you're sort of someone where you think, well, I don't read much, and I don't read very fast, and, well, you know, but I still want to read more on that issue, this one is very, very helpful. It's an introduction to the subject of transgender, and it gets you helpfully into the Bible passages. So I think that's a really good sort of starter. That, I think, is only £2, so that's a bargain. That really is a bargain. To grab one of them. Or the other one that I would recommend is this one, which is also being sold today, Andrew Walker, God and the Transgender Debate. It's a bit longer, but still very clear, very easy to read. But he gets into a bit more of the tricky issues as well. So he gets into what are the difficult questions that we might be confronted with and issues we might need to face. So he is very good. If you want to get into a bit more detail, that. But it's still not very heavy. I mean, I would still say, you know, go for that. That one's the sort of quicker read. That one's the slightly longer read. This one also talks about how you talk to your children about this kind of thing as well. So I would recommend both of them, but do pick them up over coffee as well. It's an important issue to tackle, the issue of gender, because there have been big changes over the last few years. It has been a very rapid change, the way our culture has changed in its thinking about gender. And furthermore, it's not just rapid change, it's also the fact that it is being talked about all over the place. It is talked about in the news, in the media. It's also being talked about a lot in schools. So Pathfinders, in your school, I'm sure they are talking to you about gender as well. I know we take our children to Tolworth Girls' School for music lessons, and up in Tolworth Girls' School, they've got a lot about LGBTQ+ and gender, and there are all sorts of things around on the walls there. And I know in schools they're talking to you about gender, so we need to talk about gender to say, what does God say about this? Because what is told to us in the media, in schools, is that there are more than two genders. And you will have noticed, even if you're blind to other things, you will have noticed if you're filling out forms nowadays, generally, it doesn't just say male and female anymore, does it? It says male, female, and other. And when the first time you saw that, you might have thought, what? What's other? And in fact, when it comes to gender, there was a point when Facebook said that you had 71 options for gender. They don't do it quite like that now, but they had 71 options. You think, what on earth would all those options be? Well, you can go and find out if you like. Well, in order to understand the issue of gender, which just has gone a bit mad in our society, all those different options, all those different things, some here may be thinking, how did it get so complicated? But we need to take a step back to say, first of all, there is a bigger question to ask, which is to say, who are you? As in, who are you and how do you decide who you are? How do you know who you really are? You see, the world around us wants to say, you are whoever you want to be. Be whoever you want to be. Be the inner you. Whatever you are on the inside, be that. And when it comes to gender, that's kind of the message, isn't it? Whatever you feel like on the inside, no matter what you actually are on the outside, be what you are on the inside. If you feel like you're a woman, when on the outside you're a man, then be the woman inside, and vice versa. And it sounds very freeing, doesn't it? It sounds like the culture is saying, be free, just be free to express who you want to be. But actually, that leads to great confusion. And it leads to, well, it doesn't really lead to freedom. It leads to some very confusing results. We're now going to see a video. Steve, if you'd put us back on the computer. We're going to watch a video that was done in Washington University, where some students were interviewed about identity. And it's very odd the way it ends up going. So let's see this video.
There's been a lot of talk about identity lately, but how far does it go? And is it possible to be wrong? We went to the University of Washington to find out.
Are you aware of the debate happening in Washington State around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility.
I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to go into whichever locker room they want.
I feel like at least public universities should do their best to accommodate for those who do not have a specific gender identity.
You know, whether you identify as male or female and whether your sex at birth is matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I would say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions, just because on the outside I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess. I mean, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel like mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, I feel like that should be an okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6'5", what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5".
If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong. Like, that's wrong to believe in it. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
You... sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you are 6'5", or Chinese, or a woman.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5 Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? And what does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
Fascinating, isn't it? And yet, I wonder whether you can relate a little bit to some of the things that those students were saying, because our culture around us is saying to us, be whoever you want to be, and we have no right to say to someone else that they are wrong. I think what's fascinating about seeing those students with those questions is you can tell that what they were wanting to do was to say, yes, be who you are inside, but yet you could also see the sort of tension in them of going, but clearly this is a bit nuts, what I'm actually saying here. There's a kind of, this doesn't really work. And we would say, yeah, no, it doesn't actually work for you just to say, be whoever you want to be on the inside. And the good thing is we don't need to say that. Because actually we can say, not you are whoever you want to be, but you are who your maker says you are. Now, that sounds less freeing, doesn't it? That sounds more constraining than what the world around us is saying, but actually it is more freeing. It is more freeing. Just as you see, just as a whale was made to live in the ocean, and it is at its freest when it is in the ocean and not out of the ocean. So we are at our freest when we are living the way we were made to live, under God and under his word, and living out the way he made us to be. So we need to ask, okay, God, what do you say when it comes to our identity and when it comes to gender? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to see what God says. And so Hilary, I think, is going to come and read for us. Please take up your Bibles and turn to page 4. And Hilary's going to read for us from that.
Today's reading is from Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The second reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, on page 5. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, and she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, so as we come to God's word, what does it say about gender? Now, I do want to flag up, it may be that there are some here who will struggle with what God says about gender, and it may be that you'll struggle maybe for yourself, but also maybe for others that you know, or maybe for others in your family or others that you're close to who do struggle with the issue of gender. And if you do struggle with this, can I encourage you, hold on to the end, because there is great news. There is really good news. But what the Bible does say is different from what our culture says. Okay, so what does it say? It says the way God made us. And you see it very clearly there, don't you? Verse 27, it says, "So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." The way God made us is male and female. Now, this is wonderfully clear, and you may wonder, where do we go after this? Because the Bible just says, God made us male and female. Now, there is similarity between the genders. You get that as you see the way Eve is created, that Adam, when he sees Eve, says, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." In other words, we're similar. So there is a similarity between male and female, between the genders. There's similarity, but there is also difference, isn't there? That male is male and female is female. God did not make for Adam someone exactly the same as himself, but someone different. He made a woman. Now, this is, as I say, very different from what our culture says. Here's a poster that I saw up at Tolworth Girls' School. I also should have said, when God had made it, he saw that it was very good. Now, don't miss that point. So God says at the end of Genesis chapter 1, having made the whole of creation and made male and female, he says, this is very good. So the distinction between men and women is a good thing, isn't it? According to Genesis 1. Like I say, this is different from what our culture teaches. On a poster at Tolworth Girls' School, in their foyer, there's a board which is the LGBTQ+ board in the reception area. And it has this poster on it, which you can't possibly read. But it's a poster which is the genderbread person. And let me read for you what it says at the top of the poster. It says, "Gender is one of those things everyone thinks they understand but don't. Gender isn't binary. It's not either or. In many cases, it's both and. A bit of this, a dash of that." Okay, so that's what they're teaching. That's what they're just expecting people coming in will see. And that is what will be presented to young people at school as well. Now, we want to say, actually, the Bible says, God says. Notice, actually, they don't give any reasoning for saying this. It's just presented as, you know, this is what's true. We go, no, actually, we've got reason for thinking there is just male and female. And it is that God says so, that God's word says so. This also disagrees with, you may have spotted, there are people out there who are trying to obliterate the differences between male and female. One radical feminist has said she longs for the day when there will no longer be any need for gender at all. In other words, she's longing for a day when you just don't deal with the issues of gender. You don't ask someone, you don't ask a person about their baby, is it a boy or a girl? It's just irrelevant. You don't even talk about it. We say, no, actually, God says this is very good. We're not on a spectrum of male and female. It really is that simple. And the difference is good. Now, you might say, well, that's the end of that then. But actually, of course, there's more to say. There's a whole load more to say, and there's more than we can possibly cover in this time. Because we need to see, yes, we're made in made by God, male and female, but we also need to see we live in a fallen world. See, we need to see, yes, God made the world, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and made it very good, and made male and female, and it was very, very good. But then you've also got Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, if you know your Bible, you know that is where the fall happens. If you've got your Bible still open, see page 5 there. It says at the beginning of chapter 3, the NIV have put a little heading there, the fall of man. And it is very important for us to know that we live in a world which is post-Genesis 3, after the fall. Because at the fall, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, rebelled against God. God told them not to eat from a particular tree, and they ate from it. And as a result of that, God then cursed the creation. And so, there is brokenness within the creation, because we are after Genesis 3. And we all experience this. We experience it in the world around us, in relationships with one another. That's why there is hurt in relationships, why there are broken relationships. We experience it in our bodies, in the creation around us. That's why there is hurt, why there is pain, why there is aging. We see it all around us and we see it in us. And the root cause of that is because the relationship with God is broken. That's what we see in Genesis 3. The root cause is our relationship with God is broken, so there is brokenness all around us. We live in a fallen, cursed world. And some will experience that fallenness, that cursedness, in the way that they experience gender. So there are people around who, and again, you see this in the news, you hear about this, that there are people around who feel that they are a different gender from the gender they are on the outside. That their bodies are one gender, but they feel they're a different gender. This condition is called gender dysphoria, and it is very rare. The way it comes across in the media, you would think it was very common, but actually it's very rare. The research at the moment suggests it's 1 in 10,000 men and 1 in 20,000 women. So that's pretty rare. It probably means you might well come across people who are experiencing this. So it's not that rare that you wouldn't find people, but actually it is still very rare. People who feel they're male while their body is female, or feel they're female while their body is male. And Andrew Walker, in this book, I think makes a really good point of saying that condition itself is not sinful. It is just a part of being in this fallen world that there are going to be people who experience that kind of problem. He makes the distinction between feeling something, feeling that things aren't right, and acting on it. He says the feeling, that feeling of feeling you're in the wrong body, you're the wrong gender, that is not sinful in and of itself, he would say. And I think he's right to say that. It's part of the condition of being in a fallen world. And therefore we need to be careful that we don't look down on those who are struggling with their gender. They are not weird. Rather, they live in a fallen world, as do we. Some struggle in this fallen world with physical illness, some with mental illness, and some with their gender. Okay, but what hope is there for those who struggle with gender dysphoria? What hope is there for us in this fallen world? Well, there is very good news. It's what we call the gospel. And here is the good news. What is the gospel? Well, there is great news. In fact, the gospel is a wonderful news for all of us, and particularly, I mean, for everyone, and especially those who are struggling with their gender. Now, the Bible does say, for those who struggle with gender dysphoria, don't go the way of the world. The way of the world is to say, be the inner you and change the outer you to be like the inner you. In other words, if you feel you're the opposite gender from your body, then change your body or change the outside, change your appearance to be the inner you. But God says don't do that. Very clear. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 says, a woman must not wear man's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. Now that's very clear, isn't it? To say, don't just live out the inner gender that you are if it's different from the outer gender. That is the world's solution, but it is not God's solution. But there is a better solution. There is a better answer, which is to say this. You see, those who are struggling with their gender and who long for a different body are experiencing, as I've already said, an acute form of what we're all experiencing, that we live in a fallen world. But we need to see the root cause of that pain that they are struggling with. And the root cause of the pain from Genesis 3, as we see, is it's caused by our rebellion against God. So to try to fix the problem without recognizing the root cause is just to deal with the symptoms. But God, you see, deals with the root problem that we have at the cross of Jesus. Because at the cross of Jesus, Jesus came and he took the curse for us. Galatians 3 talks specifically of that language, that God, Jesus, took the curse for us. He bore the curse for us as he died on the cross. He died taking that curse. And the good news is he rose to life again with a resurrected physical body. He had a resurrected body. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul holds out to us to say, if you come to Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, he will give you a resurrected body like Jesus' resurrected body. A perfect, glorious resurrection body. And that is what we are looking forward to if we're Christians, that we trust that God will give us that resurrection body, which won't struggle with all the fallenness of this world. It won't be a body that ages in the way our bodies age, that have the pains that our bodies have, that have the psychological problems our bodies have, and that won't suffer. There won't be any in those bodies who suffer from gender dysphoria. It will be a glorious body. And this really took me back when I looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about the resurrection body. And he compares it, he contrasts it with our bodies now. He calls our bodies now a tent. And he calls the resurrection body the heavenly dwelling. Okay, tent versus heavenly dwelling. And this is what he says up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 4 to 5 says this. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Paul says, we groan. We groan in this tent. Maybe you've groaned in tents before. I don't like camping either. But he's not talking about that kind of tent, is he? He's talking about this physical body that we have on earth. He's saying, this, in this tent we groan. And some of us do groan, particularly at the moment. You know that you're groaning because you're struggling with this body. And those who suffer from gender dysphoria, that is what they're struggling with. It is a body that is in a fallen world. And so we should be able to relate to such people to say, yeah, it is a struggle in this world. And we long, the verse says, not to be unclothed. In other words, not to be without a body. So don't, we're not, as Christians, we're not looking forward to just being wisps in the future, beyond this life. No, that's not what we're looking forward to. That's not what I'm looking forward to. We're looking forward to having resurrection bodies, to having the bodies, these glorious bodies that Paul talks about. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what Paul says. And do you notice how he starts verse 5? I've put it in bold on the screen here. Now it is God who made us for this very purpose. That really struck me. You see, what's God made you and me for? If you're a Christian, he's made you for that body. That's what you were made for. That's what you were made for. That body, not this body. You see, those who struggle with gender dysphoria long to have a different body. They say, this is not the body I was made for. And we can say, that's right. We know that too. We weren't made for this body either. But the solution is not radically to change your body now or to live out the inner you in that way, but to come to Jesus, who promises that he will give his people the bodies we were made for. And he can offer that to us because he has dealt with the curse. He's dealt with the root problem of our rebellion against God. That, you see, is the good news. That is the news we all need to hear. However we're struggling in this fallen world, that's the news we need to hear. If you struggle with your gender, Jesus is the great news for you. It may not be the answer that you immediately want, but actually it is the answer that we all need. Salvation can only be found in Jesus. Come to him. Last thing, very briefly. How do we help people who are transgender or struggling with gender dysphoria? Maybe you know someone who's struggling with this. What would we do if someone came into Emmanuel Church who was transgender? First thing is we need to love them and welcome them. If you know people who are struggling with their gender, love them. It says on one transgender poster that 64% of trans people are bullied, 73% are harassed in public, and 21% avoid going out in public due to fear. We must not join in with that kind of a bullying or abuse. We must love those who are struggling with their gender. Because we know that while you may not be struggling with that problem yourself, we're all suffering in different ways from the same problem, living in a fallen world. And we have the great news for those who struggle with their gender. We have a great Saviour who can transform our frail bodies to be like his glorious body. So we need to love those who are transgender or struggling with their gender. And we need to tell them about Jesus. Tell them the gospel. Now this, I'm sure, has raised a whole load of questions. And can I encourage you, if it has, do pick up the books, buy them afterwards. I'm going to stick around, I'm going to sort of hang around at the back in here rather than go to the door today. So do grab me afterwards if you'd like to, if you want to talk further about these things. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word and thank you that we do not need to find our identity by looking inside ourselves. But we can come to your word and you teach us who we are. And we teach us who you are. And Father, we pray, please, that you would help those in our society, in this land, who are struggling with their gender, that they would hear the good news of Jesus and turn to him. And that you would use us to take that gospel to those who are struggling with gender and to the whole world, to take it to those we're with. Because all need to hear and respond to Jesus. Amen.